All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R.
Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, April 13th, 2015. You know, Monday the 13th is not bad luck. It's Friday the 13th, so fucking relax, because I said 13, all right, before you get all, dude, you got to rub the fucking garlic and vinegar on your left ass cheek, because the devil lives on the left side if you're going to have a good day. All right, let's get down to it. I talked a lot of shit. Oh, fuck you, you Senator fans. You know, you actually know why I talked all that shit? Because I wasn't watching hockey. And all I saw, I knew the Bruins had won a couple because I follow them on my little smartphone there. You know, I follow the Bruins, the Canadians, and the Kings. The Bruins and the Kings because I like them, and the Canadians because I hate them, right? And I just always want to know what those fucking Blue Blanc a douche are doing, right? I like the team. I just hate their fans. You know, they don't really know hockey. They think they do, and they put on loafers, and they whine. I mean, no Canadian fan can ever say that they know hockey when you watched your fan base boo Patrick Waugh out of town because he had a bad regular season game. And that curse hangs over you, which is why you won't win it again this year. All right, whatever. Stop being a cunt, Bill. So the reason why I talk shit was because I, like everybody else, saw that thing where the Bruins were selling playoff tickets. Playoffs! So I thought they made it. So I just, you know, was just being a douche, and I started giving the fucking Senators shit. I didn't even know. That's how bad a fan I was this year. But I stuck with them. And I kept talking shit. I hoped against hope yesterday. Bruins tied it up, you know, to go into overtime, and then they fucking lost. But I don't know. There's a lot of Bruins fans. Oh, that season was a fucking disgrace and blah, 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 blah. Then other fans giving me shit. Partly it's because I talked all that shit. But, like, I don't really consider it a fucking disgrace. You know what I mean? We're a great franchise. Do you know we went to the playoffs 29 fucking years in a row? And then, like, another 10 years in a row? And then another 10 years? Something like that. We've missed the playoffs, like, fucking 3 times in my life. Big fucking deal. Am I really going to be sad as a Boston fan? Do you realize in the last 4 years, we won a Stanley Cup, we won a World Series, and a Super Bowl? All we need is the fucking Celtics to pull their green and white asses out of the mud in the next couple of years, and we're going to run the table again. And this is what kills me. We're doing this with 4 fucking teams. How can we do this with 4 teams? And then you look at the state of New York that has 10 fucking teams. The state of California has like 15 fucking teams. And collectively, they never have in a 10-year period run the table and won all of them. Go ahead, hit pause. Look it up. Look it up. So I am fine. I'm not as negative about the Bruins as everybody. I think we got some good young players or whatever. The guys that won the cup maybe got a little bit old. You know, what are you going to do? What the fuck are you going to do? All right, so congratulations to all you people that are giving me shit, you know. Especially Senator fans. Well, I guess they deserve to give me shit because I talk so much stuff. But I'm just sitting there thinking in my head, like, dude, you're a fucking eighth seed. Do you really think you're going to win a cup? You're not. All right? So we'll save a seat for you down at the golf course for when you swing by in May. What do you think about that? I'm fucking with you. I don't give a shit at this point. My team's out of it. So good luck to everybody except for the Canadians. Good luck to the Ranger fans, you know? You guys won one cup in 75 fucking years. That'd be nice to see you get another one. Even though you are fans of New York teams, and that's one of my favorite fucking arguments, that you double down in every sport. You know, it's like you're playing blackjack, and every fucking hand you get dealt two aces, and you still lose. Ah, Jesus Christ, I'm fucking wiped out, man. I stayed out last night till like, I don't know what. I had some friends come by, and we went to this this local bar, and I didn't even drink that much. It's just that I had a 4:30 pickup for a 7 a.m. flight, and I don't know. I stayed out till like 3. I think I slept for like a fucking hour and a half, and I got on the plane, and I was asleep, and I vaguely remember them saying we had mechanical problems, had to fucking taxi back to the gate. I slept through all of that. Everybody, oh, what the fuck? How fucking long is this going to take? I slept through all of it. And I didn't wake up until we were over the fucking desert, which is perfect. So it was actually was a great flight, but I got some shit to do tomorrow. So I am recording this Sunday afternoon. I usually have a rule that I do not record podcasts, on days that I fly, because I'm usually fucking, I don't know, it does something to me. I'll tell you, it does something to the funny, you know? So anyways, I don't have a team to root for at this point. So you got to be asking yourself, Bill, who the fuck are you rooting for in the playoffs? Playoffs? Who am I rooting for? I'm not going to waste my time rooting for the Senators. It would be great to see them win because they've never won, but I'm not going to waste my time with that because, they're a fucking eighth seed. All right? There you go. So that's done. Okay? I think it's going to come down to probably Rangers and Canadians again. So I figure they're the favorites. I'm going to root for the Capitals. I like the Capitals. I like Ovechkin because he actually scores. He's a goal scorer, but he's not a pussy. Like most goal scorers, you know, they usually got some big guy fucking skating right behind him, you know, stay away from him. Give him his space. You know, he's got a mean streak to his game. He actually plays a physical game. He has gold laces, which I think is a nice little piece of flair. I do have to say, that guy, I think that's, you know, him or Taves are two of my favorite guys to watch. Like when they, but Ovechkin, I don't know, there's something about the way that guy plays. He's always in the exact same spot in the offensive zone. And he's just sitting there with his stick up in the air waiting for a fucking one-timer. So I'm going to root for those guys, especially if they wear their old school uniforms that have the stars on the sleeves. I've always liked those. So I guess I'll root for those guys. And believe it or not, as much as I shit on New York, which I just do because it's fun, you know, I actually like the Giants, believe it or not, even though they kicked our ass twice in the Super Bowl. Kicked our ass the first time. The second time we fucking blew it. Brady the Welker. Dope. I'm actually a Ranger fan. Even though I was a Bruins fan, I shouldn't be because we had a brutal, brutal, brutal fucking rivalry in the 70s. Brad Park was always whining about Bobby Orr and how he got all that attention. He was fucking jealous, you know what I mean? He was like the chick that wasn't quite as hot and just sat there fucking staring daggers at the prom queen all through the 70s. Then what's funny is he ended up being a Bruin. And I was too young to remember that. I don't know. I always liked the Rangers. I always liked the original six teams. Including got to respect the Canadians. You know what I mean? Even though, you know, fucking 12 of their cups they won. Probably playing outdoors on a frozen river. We beat the Montreal Maroons in 12, best 12 out of fucking 27 or whatever the fuck it was back then. That math didn't work. I know. Go fuck yourself. Best 12 out of, what would it be? 12 out of 23. Right? There you go. Because they had all fucking day back then. Anyways. I don't know. I like the Kings. I like the Blackhawks. I like the Blues. I think I might root for the Blues. Because the Kings have won one. I still like the Kings, though. I don't know. I like a lot of teams in the West. Except for Vancouver. Although Vancouver's not Vancouver anymore. Most of those guys left. They still got the Twins. Then they got Burroughs. That guy. Thank God for that guy. He's the reason why the Bruins won. Fucking Vancouver was kicking our ass. And all of a sudden he just started being a douche. And it was just like, wait a minute. That's what we do. You gonna bite somebody in the finger? Come on, man. That's what the fuck you want to play dirty? Jesus Christ, that's that game. So, anyways, I have no idea. So, I think I'll be watching the Kings, and then I actually like the Blues because they haven't won ever. And that's what I'll do. I'll probably just be rooting for underdogs. But either way, I'm always excited for the playoffs, even though we didn't fucking make it. What are you going to do? What are you, am I going to be a fucking baby about it? Congratulations to the Senators. And I look forward to sitting next to you, watching a game with you very soon. As we sit there with both of our teams not in the playoffs. all right. So I did, I mentioned working in Tampa. And then Florida, I was down on Miami Beach. Which is fucking insane. Miami Beach, really, it puts Hollywood to shame as far as beautiful women, train wrecks, plastic surgery, old guys with younger women. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. And some of the most, but I do have to say, some of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life. So I did a couple of shows at the Jackie Gleason Theater, and there's no fucking office that they kept that was just like Jackie Gleason's. I forget who the fuck told me that. They don't. They have, obviously... They just have a green room. Like, yep, this was his green room. And downstairs, he actually had a bed and all that. If he got, if he worked too hard, wink, wink, he would sleep here. And, you know, so he'd be here for the next day to go to work or whatever. But it was still, you know, it was awesome to perform there. And afterwards, we went to this this after party. And it was really cool. I got to see Chappelle because he was performing at this theater. The same theater, I should say. A bunch of days. And got to talk. I was psyched to talk to him, but we were in this fucking really loud club, you know, playing that music that makes me feel old, that computer generated music, and there was all these fucking strobe lights, and I don't know, it was just a bunch of shit going on, and they had us in like this roped off area, and it was funny because there was like nobody in the club, so rather than looking like this cool VIP area, we looked like we had some sort of plague. They were trying to entertain us with horrible music. Maybe slowly kill us. I don't know what. But anyways, I want to thank everybody that that came out to the shows. I had an awesome time. So you know what's coming up next, everybody? Oh, the Billy Bible Belt Tour. That's the next one. The next one. When the fuck do we start that? I don't even know. Can it, somebody tell me how to get rid of this stupid updates? Updates available on my computer. And it says install or my option is later. And all I can say is try in an hour, try tonight, remind me tomorrow, turn on auto update. So just every fucking day I got to click on this thing. I never update. iTunes is the only thing I update. I never update anything else because it just fills up your fucking computer. It's like my computer works. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't understand what the problem is here. I don't know. I never update my phone. I still have the iPhone 4S, which at this point it's starting to fucking, it's starting to wig out on me here a little bit. Gonna have to finally give into it, but I haven't heard anybody bitch about the 6 in a while, so I guess the coast is clear and I can actually buy one. I always do that. I always wait for people to buy the phone, bitch about it, and then they fix it, and then I buy the next one. I draft behind you. That's what I do. I'm like a coward in war. I sit in the fucking foxhole in the fetal position crying as you guys go over the wall and take it in the face, right? What is this thing doing? Why is it blinking? Just made a noise, right? Am I still recording? I think I'm recording. I don't fucking know. Anyways, the Billy Bible Belt Tour. All right. It starts April 18th in Savannah, Georgia. April 19th, we're in Knoxville, Tennessee. The 20th, Chattanooga, Tennessee. 21st, we are in Memphis. 22nd, Shreveport. Thank you very much, everybody, for helping me sell these tickets. Why does this thing keep beeping? Ah, fuck, I don't know. I don't even know if I'm fucking recording at this point. Maybe I'm just doing it for me. All right, the 23rd, we're in New Orleans. All right, we're in there. Then we're there for a couple of days. And then we got Huntsville, Alabama. Then we got, all right, I have to fucking address why this thing is fucking beeping. What is the problem? I have battery power, right? Why do you keep making that? All right, the fucking thing was beeping because the memory was full. I swear to God, man, I have no instinct when it comes to electronics, technology, any of this shit. I just,
You know, I'm a fucking idiot when it comes to this stuff. I like old school shit, you know? Anything pre, like, digital watch, I didn't have a problem with it. It was simple. You put batteries in the back of it, you know, you fucking wound the hands of the clock. You looked at the clock. There it was. You just plugged it in, right? Isn't that what you did? You wound it up. There you go. I miss those. I miss those days. Nice and fucking simple. You know? Oh, Billy Simpletown. You know, I'd like to go back to that at some point. Jesus fucking Christ, with all of this goddamn shit, this fucking new recorder, there's just so many extra goddamn bells and whistles on it. You know what's funny is they could have just came out with the exact same one, and I would have used their other one till it was dead. This is just for these fucking nerds. We're like, oh, dude, have you heard the new one? You know what the new one does? The same as the old one, except a couple other things. Oh, I'm such a cunt when it comes to that stuff. I apologize to one and all about that shit. Anyways, what the hell was I talking about? Oh, I think I was listing the dates on the upcoming tour. I believe we cut off the 23rd. I'm in New Orleans. Huntsville, Alabama, the 26th. Jackson, Mississippi on the 27th. Mobile, Alabama on the 28th. Lexington, Kentucky on the 30th. And Evansville, Indiana on the 1st. And then we go to the Kentucky Derby. And what's great about this tour is I haven't been to any of these fucking places. And so I'm going to be performing in front of a bunch of people that have never seen me before. Some never even heard of me. So, you know, it's weird. This is kind of like when I went through Southeast Asia, except I'm doing it in my own country. So it's going to be a good time. But I'll tell you right now, old Billy's been in the fucking gym. All right? I've been doing the 10s when I'm on the road. That workout Bartnick showed me. What's, you do 10 jumping jacks, 10 burpees. 10 sit-ups, 10 push-ups, 10 like alternate leg lunges, and then 10 jump squats. And then you do 9. Run through it again. Then you do 8. Run through it again. You go all the way down to 1. And then I skip rope for 2 or 3 rounds. And by the end of that, I'm fucking dead. And I'll tell you right now. You do that, I swear to God, you can drink a 12-pack and eat a fucking quarter pounder with cheese and wake up with a flat stomach. All right? There you go. That's what you need to do. You know, I have a buddy of mine. Oh, I got a friend of mine, you know? He's one of these fucking guys, you know, he's always trying to lose weight, right? But he does like those fad diet things, you know? Dude, I've cut out all sugar, you know, or I don't eat carbs. Not eating bread. Not eating bread. Dude, I cut out bread altogether. It's just like, how long is that going to last? How can you realistically not have a fucking sandwich? That's, you know what I mean? It's like people who try to quit eating bread, that's like me trying to quit alcohol. It's just, it's not going to happen. Like, how long can I realistically go and just remain sober and just go through life? You know, at some point, you have to drink. And I'm saying this to alcoholics too, all right? I think you guys are way off base with your sobriety. Okay, you're missing the point in life. The point in life is every, you know, you don't do it every day. You just every, like, you know, like 3 days, you get so drunk and belligerent, you hurt everyone around you that you love, and you maybe create a legal problem for yourself. And, you know, I know that this is obvious to most of my listeners, but I just don't understand why people go to AA meetings. No, I'm joking. I just fucking... All you got to do is you just start your day with your fucking oatmeal. These fucking idiots, man, sitting there. Dude, I'm done with pickles. I'm not done with anything. Like, I try not to eat McDonald's, but I know at some point, oh, I know I'm going to go in there. And you know what? I'm going to go in there. My heart's going to be fucking racing with excitement, knowing that I'm doing something bad, and I'm going to eat it. And second after I eat it, I'm going to feel like shit. I know I am. I know I am. But I'm not. I'm. Despite that, it's fucking delicious when it's going down, right? And I know I'm going to fucking hate it. But every once in a while. Hey, did you see somebody did the, it was great, somebody did the Final Four, like the bracket thing, the March Madness brackets with fast food, and I can't tell you how disappointed I was that McDonald's got knocked out in the first round. I just thought it was completely disrespectful. You know, this is they're like the Rose Bowl of fast food. These are the ones who, they started it all, right? March Madness, let me look this up. And I guarantee you're gonna take it fucking personally. March Madness fast foods images. Come on, Bill. Were you able to find it? Were you able to make computers work for you for once in your life? Ah, geez, it's just a bunch of fucking advertising. Oh, well, there it is. There it is. I found it. Holy shit, I can't believe it. All right, visit the page. Visit the page. I click the button. Nothing happens. The vein in my forehead starts to pulse. But McDonald's gets knocked out in the first round. Give me a fucking break. McDonald's, they're like the Duke of fast food, you know? They're just going to be in it, at least to the grade eight. Wouldn't you say? What's your favorite fast food? In-N-Out gets fucking knocked out. That had to have been an upset, right? Oh, this is birthday cake versus pie. You know what? Fuck you, Internet. I'm so fucking... Why can't you just find the shit that I need? Ah, go fuck yourself. All right, it's over. Whatever. Yet again. You know what I need to learn how to do? I need to learn to not just fucking wing this podcast and just search for the shit that I want first, have it, and then riff about it. Instead of getting you guys excited that I'm actually going to complete a fucking thought on here. All right, tapping out of that. Not even gracefully. That was just a train wreck. I just fell out of the side of a fucking moving car. That's what just happened, okay? We went around a corner. I didn't have my seatbelt on. The door opened up, and then that was it. Old freckles right out the side. Road rash all over the side of his big forehead. So anyways, I actually watched a documentary that I think it was on HBO. My lovely wife recorded it on Frank Sinatra, this two-part series. And I got to tell you, man, it changed my life, a one part of it. And it's the part where he makes his second comeback. Like, I guess he was like the first sort of, you know, he was like the Justin Bieber of back then when he first did like the, when he first started singing. He was a crooner and all the chicks loved him and that type of stuff. And it's funny, all the big bands were like the fucking rock bands back then. Benny Goodman and Glenn Miller and all them. And they're looking like, who the fuck is this kid? You know, with all these girls screaming, you know? And also it just speaks to the quality of talent back then and musicianship that like a guy of Frank Sinatra's talent was considered like a fucking boy band. And granted, you had all that stuff going on back then, right? Miles Davis, Charlie Parker, and all that type of shit. But they had all this amazing footage, and he was in, I think, the Tommy Dorsey band. And like all they're doing, they're talking about Frank. And I'm looking at the band, and they got Buddy Rich on drums. They don't even bring it up. It's just it was the level of talent. It was fucking unreal. Like, you really had to know how to play back then. So, anyways, he had basically, after he dropped off, you know, after his crooning thing was over, people thought he was finished. And I think that, like, the whole rock star thing, but he was basically a rock star before rock was, you know, there was no history of anybody ever doing that. So when he fell off, everybody thought he was finished. So when he made his comeback as the singer of sad songs and lament, whatever the fuck they said, it was considered the greatest comeback in showbiz history. So that wasn't the part that scared me. What scared me was the second time, you know, when he was into his 50s now. I think the first time he fell off, it was just like, I don't know, he was in like his 20s. He was considered older and washed up or something, or maybe like into his 30s. So 20 years after that, he has his second one. And this is the one that scared me. And they said Frank was making all these choices, desperately trying to remain relevant. And they had at one point, he was singing with some like Motown group, and they had these really like crazy, like pimp suits meets like a Three Musketeers kind of outfit, right? Late 60s, crazy shit. And Frank puts on one of these outfits to sing with this popular group. And he's got that big band swing pulse, and they're coming more with like a Motown thing. And I was literally on the edge of the couch watching it with like my fucking head in my hands going like, oh my God, this happened to Frank Sinatra? Like, what the fuck is going to happen to me? And I immediately, since then, have been planning some sort of, I got to have an exit strategy out of this business. I've joked about it before on stage, saying how this business at some point is finished with you, whether you like it or not. But you never think about it. All you're thinking about is your next project. You know, it's this business is like a fantasy. It's not like the real world where you're like, I'm going to do this until then. And then when I'm this age, I'm 65, I think I'm going to retire. and blah, 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 blah. Like this business, people just fucking hang around and hang around and hang around and hang around to the point they fucking hire you. And people, like when they go, when they bring up your name, they go, I thought he was, is he still alive? Hey, Sharon, he's Bill. Try and find out if Bill Burr's still alive. Like that'll fucking happen to me someday if I stick around too long. So all I could, you know what I felt like when I was watching that? I felt like Paulie, that scene in Goodfellas. All right, when he's talking to Henry, telling him to stay away from the drugs, and he talks about some other Don. He goes, you hear about so-and-so? He's going to die in jail. All right? That ain't fucking happening to me. And I was literally watching Frank wearing that suit, and that's all I could think. I can't say that's not going to happen. I just hope that does not happen to me. I just started having these fucking panic attacks and me coming out on stage on a cruise ship with like a walker. And people just going to see me at that point just to see me. Like, hey, you know, he's, come on. He's been telling dick jokes for 40 years. We got to go see this guy. And I come out there, old age spots on the top of my fucking head. They're desperately trying to cover up with fucking, I don't know what kind of makeup you got, a goddamn sander, electric sander, in the top of my fucking head before I go out there. Yeah, fuck that. I think I know what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. I got to start investing money outside of this business. So I have ink. I need mailbox money coming in outside of this business. So whenever they're done with me, I can just transition. You know what I think I'm going to, I think I'm going to become a slumlord. I'm going to live this like dual life where I'm going to be this smiling entertainer on stage, and I'll do benefits for diseases and underprivileged people and all that. And then one day I will get exposed for the monster I truly am. And I'll have all these fucking like, there'll be like stories about how inexplicably like tuberculosis is coming back, and eventually they'll trace it back to this, like these four awful towers of apartments that are owned by this this corporation. And they're like, well, who is behind Go Fuck Yourself, Inc. or whatever? Billy Redface. Who is Billy Redface? Then they'll fucking, they'll bust me. And that'll be the end of it. And you know who I'll blame? I'll blame the Astor family out of New York. And I'll just be like, well, I got my business model through them. I mean, they did the same thing, and for some reason, no one trashed them, and they actually got an entire subway stop and piece of New York, like, named after them. You know, Astor Place. Why can't we have Billy's Place? I'll do it in Detroit. I'll go there, and I'll buy up a whole block, you know, and then rather than redoing it, I'll rent it out to crackheads. Just, you know, I'm just throwing shit against the wall here. Just go easy here with this this business model. I'll rent it out to some crackheads, right? And it's a stupid idea. They don't have money. All right, so I have to get them out of there. Do you know how you get crackhead out of your house? You got a bright flashlight and a garden hose. That's what you do. And you just and you don't have it on full blast. You just have it on like that. You know, when you're watering a dainty flower in your garden, do you ever do that? Sitting out there, you know, subconsciously scratching your ass. That's basically how you do it. Except you hold one with like a flashlight, and then you just sort of, you water them. You know, water's good for you. That's like their kryptonite, and they get out of there. You treat them like house cats. They get up on the couch. You know, you just keep doing that. So the hardest part is getting the water turned back on while they're still in there, you know? I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But anyway, so I watched that thing. Anybody see it? It scared the shit out of me. This whole fucking thing of getting old and not being fucking relevant and all of that type of stuff. And I don't know. Desperately trying to figure out, where the fuck do you go? Where do you turn to? You know what I mean? This is why, like, not having kids is fucking scary. Because then, you know, that you can lean back on your kids. Like, well, they'll take care of me, you know? At least they'll stick me in a fucking home or something. I can eat applesauce as I yell at the wall. Am I sitting in my own fucking feces, right? I mean, wait till it rains and I stick my old ass out the window and I wash it. Ah, Jesus, Bill. Well, you know, whatever. Go fuck yourself. It scared me. I got a little scared. So I'm thinking of being I think I'm going to become a slumlord on the side.
So I'll let you know if I can find an apartment building that costs about, I don't know, about $7,000-$8,000. I can go down to Home Depot, put some fucking PCP fucking piping or PCV piping, whatever the fuck it's got. I don't know what it's called. That's what I'll do. And I'll be a monster on the side while I smile and wave at benefits. That is my exit strategy. So this is my question for you guys. You guys in the real world. All right? Because I'm not even joking about how frightening that was to watch. What is your exit strategy if you have a career right now? All right? And if you do have children, do you think that you have raised your children in a way that they are both smart enough to have a career where they can take care of you? And secondly, were you nice enough to them that they don't hate your fucking guts, that they don't give a shit? You know, they don't care if you rot in a fucking old folks home. Were you nice enough to them that they don't resent you? Or were you not selfish enough that they picked up on your selfish habits and they're like, yeah, I don't give a fuck about my dad or my mom. You know, that's what I'm asking. I'm asking the tough questions here on the Mother Motor Podcast. All right, let's read some of the fucking advertising here for this week. All right, here it is. Well, I was actually supposed to read something else first. For the Thursday afternoon, Monday morning podcast just before Friday. You know, that's just basically me fucking around for a half hour, as opposed to the serious shit that happens on Monday. Then we play some greatest hits from podcasts gone by. I was wondering, you know, if there's any subjects you guys want me to talk about, if there's an article that pissed you off, maybe once a week I will do a rant for you. All right. If there's something you want me to fucking go off on, I'll try to work up some sort of passion for it. You can actually send it to the at the MM podcast with the hashtag TAMMP, Thursday afternoon, Monday morning podcast. And just do it on like Wednesday, because if you do it today, by the time Thursday comes around, I'm too stupid to figure out where the hell they are at that point. Okay? Do it if you want to. If you'd like to send me an email to be read on the podcast, bill@themmpodcast.com. All right? And with that, here's your favorite part of the podcast, everybody. You get to listen to old Freckles read out loud here. All right, MeUndies. Oh, shit, right out of the gate, I got to sing here. MeUndies, MeUndies, no more sweaty balls. Boop, 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 MeUndies, MeUndies, wear them in a horsey stall. Fucking shoe that thing and get kicked in the face. These underwears fit every fucking race. Oh, you can wear MeUndies if you got a big dick or little. It doesn't matter. Put them on your fucking balls. All right, MeUndies, 90%. That's the percent of your life that you're in your underwear. Underwear gets old fast. You know that feeling of putting on old saggy underwear? Makes your shoulders slump, doesn't it? Huh? You start wondering why you married the person sitting across from the table, right? They bite into that English muffin. You start thinking about killing yourself. You need to know the feeling of great-fitting underwear that is two times softer than cotton. You need to know about MeUndies.com. MeUndies is the most comfortable underwear you will ever wear, and it's insane how good they make you feel. They fit perfectly. They don't ride up on you. They literally pull moisture, gross, away from your skin so you stay cool. All right? They have cool styles for both men and the fucking ladies. And they all look great. Check out the photos for yourself, you pervert, at MeUndies.com. This quality would typically retail for two times the MeUndies price. No retail middleman means more savings for you. Here, I will make it easy for you. Go to MeUndies.com/burr and get 20% off your first order and free shipping. Save even more when you buy a pack of them. They guarantee you're going to be happy with them or your first pair is free. All right, next. DraftKings.com, everybody. You know what? One of my friends from back home actually used this and was raving about it, saying how much fun he was having. So there you go. There's a little endorsement, sort of, from me via a friend. DraftKings, the wait is finally over. Baseball season is here at last. And the excitement continues all season long at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. MLB's involved in this and they won't let fucking Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame? Oh, you fucking hypocrites. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash, instant gratification for you right there. Sitting at your computer. Why wait until the end of the season to claim victory when you can win huge cash every day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every fucking time you play.
Just select two pitchers and eight position players, but you got to stay under the salary cap now, and you could be on your way to an enormous payday. Last year, Peter from Colorado won $1 million at DraftKings.com in one day just playing baseball. Another guy lost his marriage and his entire family. It's all how you decide to gamble. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you already cashed in at DraftKings.com. Now it's your turn. Call to action. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and enter the promo code DEFENSE to play for free. You could win part of the $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. $300 million? Jesus Christ, how many people are playing? Use promo code DEFENSE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com. I got to give it up to these guys. They found a way to make the dog days of baseball. You know, they always say the dog days of summer. It's the dog days of baseball after fucking April. You know what I mean? You're already jonesing for football. What a great way to watch baseball. You know, throwing your mortgage on the line when the Cubs are playing the Cardinals. I don't know. Every time I read that, I start thinking that'd be kind of fun to put together a team. Stay under the salary cap. Oh, God. Am I going to be one of those guys that fucking plays fantasy football? All right, let's read one. Well, how many more do I got here? All right, we'll read one more. Dollar Shave Club, everybody. Dollar Shave Club. Oh, my God, Marcy. Have you heard about Dollar Shave Club? Oh, you can shave your twat. And there's no razor bumps. You've heard me talking about DollarShaveClub.com, the company that delivers amazing razors for a few bucks. I know, a razor that costs a few bucks delivering a great shave seems too good to be true, right? But you really have to try the razors. The DollarShaveClub.com razors will give you the most amazing shave that you've had in years. Don't pay triple the price when you can get a fantastic shave delivered for just a couple of bucks. You have to be an idiot to keep overpaying. I love how I always fuck up reading that sentence where I go, you have to be an idiot, and I can't even read the sentence. I am a massive celebrity, and I'm constantly getting my picture taken by weirdos in bars. Or I'm on some TV show in high definition. I can't be seen with nicks and cuts all over my beautiful face. I have to shave with a high-quality razor. Don't be fooled by the price. These razors are legit, and you will never go back. All right? Plus, they've got, oh my God, they've got Dr. Cavi's Easy Shave Butter. It's phenomenal. If you're still using old-fashioned shave foam, you're a loser, and I feel bad for you. Try DollarShaveClub.com/burr to get started. You'll wish you had started sooner. That's DollarShaveClub.com/burr. DollarShaveClub.com/burr. I really want to go to the fucking thing where whoever came up with that, you have to say it three times or they don't hear it. That's gofuckyourself.org. 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 All right, let's read some content here for this week. What do we got here? All right, the Thursday afternoon, Monday morning podcast. Okay, Bill, in case the rest of the morons who listen to your podcast haven't extended a thank you yet, let me do so on behalf of them for the Thursday afternoon, Monday morning podcast that comes in just before Friday there. I love the music between the old clips, especially last week's. My wife and I were listening on the way to work, and she pointed out that you sound different on Thursdays. Monday, you come out of the gate, and by Thursday, you seem more at peace. It's probably too early to claim a pattern, but we'll see. Anyways, thank you again. Ah, Jesus Christ. Can women ever just fucking not be trying to figure you out? They're fucking weird. Sorry, I needed a drink there. You know, he seems more... I like the Thursday, Bill. Like, just like... And you know what? And they always act like what they're trying to do is to make your life better. And all she's doing... She's like, they're constantly gaining, like, reconnaissance, like, information. You know what I mean? Because generally speaking, unless you date one of those UFC chicks, you know what I mean? They can't beat the shit out of you. So they got to go cerebral. So they are constantly on some sort of surveillance mission, even on a guy that isn't in their fucking lives. It just weirded me out that she's listening to it at that level. And you know what's funny? She just does it naturally. Who the fuck else would be thinking that? He seems more melancholy on Wednesdays, but on Saturdays, there's a light. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Oh, Jesus Christ. Maybe because Mondays I'm flying back from somewhere and I'm hungover. How about that? Maybe that's what it is. But I'll tell you right now, I'm never more at peace. I'm actually happy somebody would ever think that they heard that in my voice. All right, I'm going to read this next one. I'm going to read it in my, I guess, my Thursday. Let me try to get myself more at peace here. Need advice. Hey, Billy Bitch Tits, I need your help. My girlfriend of 3 years has been acting really strangely lately. Things were fine up until 2 months ago. We were banging and hanging all the time without... I can't do this. We were banging and hanging. Oh, Jesus. Were you high-fiving while you were fucking, too? All the time. Yeah, I'm going to come up top, bro. Up top. Up top, bro. Jesus. Nice fucking switcheroo there, huh? We were banging and hanging all the time without any problems at all, except for the odd fight over which restaurant to go to. Life was pretty sweet. Anyways, lately she's never been available between 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. And when I do reach her after 10 p.m., she's really grumpy and doesn't want to talk to me. She tells me it's not me and not to worry. It'll be better soon, but she's been like this for the last 2 months and there's no end in sight. She's also keeps canceling our plans at the last minute, saying she's not feeling up to going out. She's never acted like this before, and we've known each other for 7 years. Oh, Jesus, a seven-year itch there. Anyways, yesterday was the breaking point. I called her around 9:30 p.m., and she told me to go fuck myself and hung up on me. I called her back 45 minutes later, and I'll be honest, I was crying a little. Oh, God, she's in your heart now, dude. Well, 7 years she's going to be. What was different was that this time she was crying too, and she said she was really sorry, and that the last 2 months... Oh, fuck you. I'm not even going to read that. Come on, man. Hey, Andrew, quit sending me the fucking troll ones. All right, election. I got to read it because it was funny. But, I mean, I don't want to turn all of these questions into the, everything and wah, wah, wah. It was just a joke because then I don't have anything to fucking tie. That was, she had been watching the Bruins and blah, 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 blah. Basically, if that was a real one, she would have been crying the entire season. Yeah, don't send me these things because this is what helps me talk for a fucking half hour. If every one of these is going to be like, oh, I fucking trolled you. Yeah, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba- Can we get your thoughts on the 2016 election? Hillary, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz. Thoughts on any of them or what direction you think this country is going in? I think Hillary's got a great shot because she's a woman. And there'll be a big pressure to not say she stinks because you'll get branded as a sexist. I'm sick of the Clinton family and the Bush family. I need a fresh face to be lying to me. That's the one thing I've loved about Obama over the last 8 years. At least it was a different face, you know, just shoveling a bunch of shit at me as opposed to just fucking. I mean, can we just get out of the fucking Bush Clinton? I don't want to do that, you know? I really don't. And also, when a woman becomes president, it's gonna crush me to watch how excited women are going to be as if it's going to make a bit of fucking difference. And I don't mean that in some hateful way towards women. I just can't stand people who fucking honestly look at the presidential office as if that person can do anything. You know? This is going to get fucking dark here. I think it's all bullshit. When you look at what fucking politicians make, it's pathetic. It's pathetic what they make. 400 grand to be president. You get 200 something grand to be a goddamn senator. All right? And all of those offices cost millions and millions and millions and millions of fucking dollars to get. So you have to go to all these other fucking guys, and then you owe all of them favors. So you're bought and paid for before you even get into the fucking office. And then what happens is afterwards, somehow, like something ridiculous, like 65 to 70% of senators are multimillionaires. It's like, how the fuck did you do that? If you just made a couple hundred grand a year, because you're going to get whacked in half in taxes. You know what I mean? I just think the whole fucking thing is corrupt. And look at Obama, the first African-American president. You would think that they would be that should have been the most liberal fucking guy ever. And he wasn't. It was just, to me, it was just more of the same. More of the fucking same. More of the, these people are going to get us. More of that shit. And just getting everybody to hate everybody all around the fucking world. It's just been all of that same exact shit. And I don't think, you know, any of those guys, I don't know if the woman that I do like is the one who's fucking actually calling out the banks and saying we need to break up the monopoly. That's the one that I like. Out of everybody that I've heard talk, she's the one that I'm actually like, wow, she's actually saying something, you know? But I mean, if she actually tried to do that, she would get whacked. And I totally believe that. I don't know that they even have to fucking whack you now. They'll just destroy you. They'll go through your emails and they'll kill you that way. But that's what I feel and all that. I think it's hopeless. And we're going to fuck it all up. And the world at some point will be unlivable because it'll be so polluted and overpopulated. And then we'll basically, I don't know, something will happen, a volcano or a merciful asteroid. And those are my beliefs. So there you go. Hey, maybe that woman was right that I am more at peace and hopeful on Thursday. Re-ask me that on Thursday, and I'll be like, you know what? I think Hillary is wonderful. It'll be so great for women everywhere and men. All right, thoughts on Pete Rose. Hey, Bill, big fan. I know you're very passionate about sports. Was curious where you stood on Pete Rose. With All-Star Game in Cincinnati this year, now if ever would be the time for him to get reinstated. Now that you got podcasts twice a week, thought you might have time to rant about Pete Rose sometime. Check out the link below if you have a minute. Song I wrote, Put Rose in the Hall of Fame. Love you, brother. I don't know. You know, I think when you fuck up like he did, I mean, that's the number one thing you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to gamble on baseball because that fucks with the integrity of the game beyond even steroids. Because then you're literally like trying to lose a game, possibly, which at least with steroids, you're trying to fucking win. At least you're trying to fucking win. And I know he says, I never bet against my team. But I mean, I don't know if anybody knows a fucking degenerate gambler. I mean, eventually, you know, you get yourself into situations and you need that one big score and there's 162 games. Hey, why don't I bring that guy up from AAA and put him on the mound? See what happens. At the last second, of course. I wouldn't mind if they put him in at this point. I feel like he paid the price, but I had no sympathy for the guy, for the first like 20 years of the shit. But at this point, he's an old man. Just put him in there. I mean, the guy, he was so great for baseball. It's just unfortunate that he had that problem. And I think he paid the price. I'd let him back in. There you go. Huh? There's a little Thursday attitude for you. Wasn't that nice? I almost had a little tear in my eye. All right. Where are we going here? Daredevil. Jesus Christ. Daredevil. Dear Wonder Bill. You don't strike me as much of a comic book fan. Yeah, I liked him when I was a little kid. You know, oh boy, do you think Aquaman could beat Electric Man? What about the gas burner? But you should really check out the new Daredevil show on Netflix. The fighting is great. He gets his ass kicked, which adds to the reality of one guy walking into a room and facing seven others. Vincent D'Onofrio, all right, I'm already in. Rosario Dawson, all right, I'm in. One of the hot chicks from True Blood is in it. It's dark as hell. Please report back with a review. Are you caught up on The Following? I never saw The Following. I'm trying to find where the fuck I can watch the pilot to Better Call Saul. They don't have it, as far as I can tell, up on AMC. If anybody can find me that in like the first two episodes, I have the rest of the season taped, episode 3 through the finale. I have to do that first, and then I'm going to go to Daredevil. I really want to get into Lord of the Rings, but I just hate fucking period pieces with the fucking... I just hate the clothes. You know what I mean? They're walking around in those castles with no central heating, and nobody is ever shivering. I just can't get into it. All right. What is The Following? What is The Following? What the fuck is that? It better not be a werewolf, zombie, or vampire thing. If I had to guess, The Following, is that about somebody who starts a church? Is that what it is? Come on, old computer, you can do it. This is how long it takes my fucking computer, my goddamn neighborhood. Because we won't have one of those fake internet trees. Because it will mess with the integrity of the aesthetics. The following. Watch the most current episode on Hulu. The Following TV series. A brilliant and charismatic yet psychotic serial killer communicates with other active serial killers. How the fuck have I not been watching this? This is tremendous. And advocates a cult of believers following his every command. All right. So what they did was they took the Charlie Manson thing and they added a little extra thing to it. He used to have to stand in front of him. Now he can do whatever the fuck he wants. Yeah, all right, I'm in. Dude, there's never been another time in the history of television where there's been this many unbelievable shows to watch. Like, it's insane. I don't get why a TV show is so fucking great and it's so hard to find a good movie now. You know? I mean, people steal TV shows, too. I'm starting to think movies don't have an excuse anymore. Everything doesn't have to be a fucking $100 million, I don't know. You know what? I actually did see a great movie. I don't know if I brought this up. Did anybody see Wild Tales is the name of it. It was a movie made by some director out of Argentina. It's fucking phenomenal. It's like six back-to-back stories. Almost, it kind of seems like like a format, like a Tarantino type of thing that he would do. But they're unrelated, but there's a overall theme of this really dark comedy, revenge, and that type of stuff. And it's, me and Nia saw it the other day. We absolutely fucking loved it. Called Wild Tales. Definitely check it out, man. It was I don't know. I'll tell you, it was a great movie, you know? All right, a great book. Bill, I am reading this book called Men on Strike. Why men are boycotting marriage, fatherhood, and the American dream, and why it matters. Oh, Jesus, dude. Why would you abandon all of that? It is a very in-depth look at the lack of paternal rights and laws in this country. I've been talking to a lot of younger guys in the military about it so they don't get caught up. Yeah, but what they should have is on is the back end of that. Like, okay, so if you're never going to get married and you're never going to become a dad and have the picket fence and all that, what you need to do is you need to go hang out with some old playboys who are in their 50s, early 60s, and you will see a sadness in their eyes that you do not want in your soul. I will tell you that, because as much as I go off and make fun of women and everything, you know, I am 10 times harder to live with, you know. So, I mean, they're tortured by us too. But I really can tell you that going solo is not the way for most people, I would think. I mean, some people are just wired that way. I mean, I have a little bit of that. Like, I am a big time loner. I got this weird thing where I won't shut the fuck up when I'm with my friends. But, like, anytime we have, like, company and shit, I swear to God, like I can only do it for like 8 to 10 minutes, and all of a sudden I just have to get up and walk out and be by myself, sit outside in the porch just staring at a tree. It's really fucking weird. Unless maybe I'm just selfish. Unless the subject is something that I'm interested in, what everybody's talking about. I got to whisper this shit. If my wife hears this, she's gonna be pissed. Oh, great, Bill, and then post it. Like, she's not gonna find out about it. No, my brain just shuts down. That's basically what happens. And it's something Nia said about me a long time ago. She goes, if you don't give a fuck about something, you just stop listening, and it's really annoying. And it's like, all right, well, I thought I was listening to my inner voice. You know? I mean, I am always amazed at people that have really good social graces. You know what I mean? They come in, they know how to throw a party, make sure everybody's comfortable. They notice that somebody's drink is empty and all of that. I just like, hey, how you doing? All right, booze is over there. See you later.
Don't talk to me.
You know, I come more with that vibe. I gotta tell you right now, the second I'm done uploading this fucking thing, like, I don't know. I'm just gonna go sit out on my porch, staring at a tree, thinking nothing. I don't know. I think I'm probably slowly losing my fucking mind. Who knows? All right, let me read the last couple of these live reads. Clicking on this, scrolling down. LegalZoom. These guys, their copy is always so fucking intense. All right, LegalZoom. If you're thinking about starting a business, now is the best time to do it. It's National Start Your Business Month every month at LegalZoom.com. It's never been easier to start your business. Never been easier to start building your future. LegalZoom provides the support you need. For more than 10 years, they've helped millions of business owners just like you. If you need advice for your business, no problem. LegalZoom's not a law firm, but they've built a network of trusted attorneys to provide the guidance you need for your specific situation. Here's the best part. During National Start Your Business Month, LegalZoom is offering an attorney consultation for only $50. If you're unsure about the best way to start, or if you've already run a business and need some advice, this offer is for you. Can they help me figure out how to become a slumlord? Get legal advice for your business with no further obligations for a low one-time cost. Go to LegalZoom.com today to find out more. Attorney consultations are provided by independent attorneys available in most states. Get the legal help you need for your business at LegalZoom.com and enter Burr in the referral box to save even more. LegalZoom.com, promo code Burr. Legal help is here. All right, the last one. Our old friend, Stamps.com. One of the best recommendations I make to small businesses is to use Stamps.com. Stamps.com makes mailing and shipping so convenient and saves you time and money. Buy and print official U.S. postage right from your computer. Once you try it, you won't go back to making time-consuming trips to the post office. To get you started, Stamps.com has special offers for as a special offer for my listeners. Just use my last name, Burr, to get a no-risk trial so there's nothing to lose. Plus a $110 bonus offer. It includes a digital scale that calculates the exact postage for your letter and packages. No guesswork. And up to $55 free postage. Stamps.com is easy to use. Print postage for your letters or packages right from your desk. Then just hand them to your mailman. Over 500,000 small businesses are using Stamps.com. And guess what? You should too. I use Stamps.com to send out all my Billy the Bible Belt fucking tour posters. For the tour that's coming up this Thursday, Billy the Bible Belt? No, the Billy Bible Belt tour. I can't even say it. And I'm a moron. If I can figure out how to use their scale and all that shit, so can you. Remember, remember my special offer. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R. That's Stamps.com. Enter Burr. I actually have to confess to Stamps.com. I went to the post office the other day. You know what it was? I just wanted some colorful stamps. Every once in a while, you know, I want some nice stamps. And I got these. I stood in line. And it was a shit show. And it was every reason why I don't like going down there. And I came up in line. And, of course, I was the next in line. And then the fucking person puts the next window sign there. It really should just say, go fuck yourself. And then point a different direction. So I got Battle of New Orleans, the War of 1812 stamps, which I think are pretty cool. And then I got these crazy circus ones, and I hate the circus. Got a bunch of scary clowns. There's a tiger and an elephant, which you know were abused. I don't know why I'm telling you this. And then I got a bunch that had flowers on them. They usually have some cool shit, though. They have, like, you know, race cars and shit like that. You know what I mean? What are you, fucking 8 years old? Well, hey, you know what? I'm a big kid. Go fuck yourself. I enjoy that type of stuff. Anyways, This is the deal for this week, man. The biggest thing in my life here is this bus tour coming up. And I got to tell you, I'm so fucking excited to be going to these cities because I've never been there. And I'm going to be in front of a bunch of people that I haven't had the opportunity to perform in front of. And their vibe, it's going to be a new experience, you know, when you get out of your comfort zone. And there's going to be a lot of shit that I'm going to say that they're going to take maybe in a different way, which will cause other things to happen. It's going to be so much fun. And I'm going to not understand what they're saying sometimes the other way around. It's the fucking greatest. And it's going to be me, Paul Verzi, and Jason Lawhead. And I can't wait. So please, if you're in the area, please come out. Tell your friends about it. And we'll give you a great show. And with that is the podcast for this week. So once again, congratulations to the Senators. You guys deserved it. You were the better fucking team. Congratulations to the Penguins. Ugh. The fucking Penguins, Rangers, even the Canadians. Congratulations to all you guys. I hope you guys, whatever. I'm not going to be a cunt about this, all right? Good luck to all of you. I hope all your dreams come true, even though it will only happen for one fan base. So I'm rooting for the Capitals.
And I've kind of become a Kings fan, I got to admit it. But I will also be rooting for the Blues just because they haven't won it. I don't even know, are the Predators in it? I'll root for something like that. Then the Jets, they haven't won it. I don't know. Who gives a fuck? There's kind of a freedom for your team not being in it. Then you can stop rooting. People I root against. I will always root against the Canadiens. It's my job as a Bruins fan. That's it. Go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you next week.